I thank you, Lord, that you have made known one more time that you are alive to us. And Lord, that gives us such comfort. That's why we come corporately together, Lord, to feel your presence. And it reminds us when your Holy Spirit falls, every promise in your word is true. And our future is secure. And Lord, that gives us comfort and peace to know that you are alive forevermore. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Thank you, ladies. Beautiful singing. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 4? And I'd like to begin reading, chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 5. I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. Maybe the heat's getting to me this morning. Is it warm in here? Okay, who said you? That wasn't you that said yep, was it, Vonnie? Okay, Monique, well, you're like me, Monique. They won't pay attention to us. I kid everybody at work, I tell them on our thermostat at home, we have two settings, off and a picture of the devil. That's and it's on one of those because Ravana stays cold all the time. But I didn't think it was just me today, but I apologize for the, we'll try and get it cooled down for you a little bit, but. Chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the cross in heaven. The cross in heaven. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I sense a special presence of your Holy Spirit. He's always special. But I feel you want to do some wonderful things in our hearts and lives today. And Lord, please sensitize all of us to what you want to do. Sensitize me especially, Lord, as the leader of this service, to follow exactly what your Holy Spirit would have us to do. Heavenly Father, I humbly ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon me. Give me the mind of Christ today, and let me speak the oracles of God, I pray. Lord, have your way. Use me today, Lord Jesus. I yield my life to you. Make me your mouthpiece today to be a blessing to your people. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. A young lady by the name of Eliza Edmonds was born in Philadelphia. She was born into the family of a Methodist minister who loved God, he and his wife. And at about the age of 6 years old, she contracted polio and became an invalid, couldn't use her legs anymore. She was a very brilliant lady, Eliza was. And she went on to college in spite of her handicap and became a school teacher, teaching the children in Christian schools in Philadelphia. She was friends with the great Fanny Crosby, who wrote many a beautiful Christian hymn. And her heart's desire, teaching the children as an invalid, was that they would know and understand the Bible and know and understand who Jesus Christ was and what he had done for them on the cross. She had a strong faith, but her faith was daunted one day when one of the little children she was teaching came and asked her. They said, "Mrs. Edmonds, we see that you love Jesus and you've taught us that he heals." She said, why won't Jesus heal your legs?" Man, that's tough. Kids, man, they can cut right to the heart of the matter, can't they? And it shook her. She didn't have an immediate answer. But she was wise enough to tell the child, "I'm going to go talk with Jesus about your question, and I'll come back and I'll give you an answer." She then went home that night and began to pray as the child's question kept rolling through her. "Lord, you have the power and the ability. Why won't you heal my legs so that I could function normally in your kingdom?" She had already written many a gospel song. But that night the Lord spoke to her. And what I'm about to tell you would fly in the face of most of the modern, all what would, fly in the face of all the modern faith teaching you would hear. The Lord told her this. He said, "I'm not going to heal you at this point in time." Now think of that. But he said, "I have shed my blood for you on the cross. And one day in eternity, when you get to be with me, I'm going to heal you. I'll give you a pair of legs." Now, what an answer. You see, so often, if we don't look at the promises of God through an eternal perspective, a lot of the Bible is not going to make much sense. Because what God promises and when God gives it are two different issues altogether. Every promise in the Word of God is going to be fulfilled. Everybody in heaven, hallelujah, there's going to be no hurting there. There's going to be no crippled legs there. There's going to be no blinded eyes there. There'll be no disease. We'll be in a perfect body that'll never wear out and never grow old, hallelujah. But in this life sometimes, things happen to these mortal fleshly bodies. And God could heal us. But God's always working his purpose. And Eliza saw what the Lord was really telling her. She caught it. And it's something we need to get our mind around. And that is simply that we must look at every promise of God from the eternal perspective. Because that God is eternal. And we are finite human beings and we don't often get the mind of God to look at things in an eternal perspective, especially when it comes to the Word of God. But that is precisely how God has laid out his word. And Eliza went back and told the little girl. She said, "The Lord has told me he's going to heal me." But she told the child, but she said, "It won't be, the Lord has told me, until I get to heaven." And she said, "You'll see me there, and I'll have a strong pair of legs." And the child, no wonder Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Because children are so easy to believe. And that satisfied the child's answer then. She said, "Okay, Miss Edmonds." And that night, she went home. And she began thinking again about the child's question. And about the answer the Lord had given her. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit inspired her. And the words of a beautiful song from the Holy Spirit begin to roll off of her pen. "While we walk this pilgrim pathway, clouds will overshed the sun. But one day, in a mansion bright and blessed, he's going to prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, hallelujah. When we all see Jesus, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Praise God." And God gave her that great gospel song because of this experience. When we all get to heaven. That so explains the crux of what I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to see this morning. And that the cross of Christ and his atoning work on that cross is so powerful. It is so powerful. That it not only will affect us in the here and now, it will affect us throughout the eons of eternity. And I'm going to try to prove that to you this morning from Scripture. 28 times in the book of Revelation, you find the phrase used, the Lamb, the Lamb. It is a direct reference to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. But it is more specifically a direct reference to His atoning work on the cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God. The Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, over and over again. Can I tell you something? I chuckled as I was a little bit in my spirit as I was preparing this message. Some of you may think, well, Pastor Browning, ain't you got nothing to preach on but that cross? No, I don't. I don't want to preach on nothing but the cross. If you're tired of hearing it down here, you're going to have to take it up with Jesus in heaven, because He'll be preaching about His cross up there. So if you're tired of it down here, I'm sorry. For you, not for me. It's going to be the message you hear throughout all of eternity. Christ and Him crucified. We're going to know we're there because of what He did on the cross. We're going to praise Him there because of what He did on the cross. The government of heaven is predicated upon what He did on the cross. And it comes from our text this morning. You have the eons of souls that have been saved through the shed blood of Christ, gathered around the throne of God. And the Bible tells us that the judgment of God is about to be executed on planet Earth. And that this book with seven seals is in the hand of the one seated on the throne, which is God the Father. And John tells us there was nobody in heaven or earth that was worthy to open this book and begin to execute the judgment of God that is in this book on planet Earth. The judgment of God is coming to this planet. It's coming just as sure as we're sitting here today. God is going to right every wrong. There's coming an end to suffering. There's coming an end to little children in third world countries with their bellies swollen due to hunger because of some dictator who is a despot, wants to take all the money and not feed them. It's coming to an end. Jesus Christ is about to set up His kingdom on this planet. Hallelujah. But in around this throne, no one was worthy to take this book with the seven seals that were in it and to execute the judgments thereof. And John said he wept much over this situation. But an angel came to him and said, "Don't weep, John. Don't weep." Let me try and put this and make it applicable to where we are right now for just a moment. We're living in a cruel, mean world right now due to sin. There's much to weep over when you look at it. You would think if you look at the state of this world and its inhabitants right now, if we did not have the promises of God nor the Bible to tell us what's going to happen, we would be so fearful and so overcome with helplessness that I don't think any of us would make it. And let me tell you this. Fear, the root cause of fear, is uncertainty. You name any fear, and its root cause is an uncertainty, an uncertain feeling about a situation. And that's why John wept. He in heaven, he was weeping as he was getting this revelation, because no one was worthy. There was no one who he could get his mind around who was able to fix the situation. The message of the Holy Spirit to the gospel preaching, cross believing, faith-filled church in this last day is, hold on to me and weep not. The same message that John was told by the angel. Don't weep. And then the angel tells John why not to weep. For the Lion of Judah has prevailed, and He is worthy to open the book and unlatch the seals thereof. The message of the Holy Spirit to the church in this last day is, weep not. Your faith is in the cross. Your complete victory is coming. Your complete salvation is about to be manifest. Hallelujah. And I say complete salvation because now we just have a taste of it. Glory to God. But don't weep. Don't fret. Jesus Christ is in control, and He sits on the throne of Almighty God, ready to execute His judgment, ready to right all wrongs, ready to fix this old world. He's going to renovate it. Weep not, church. Look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. And then the Bible tells us that when the Lamb, as it had been slain, there you have that phrase, the Lamb. Bear in mind, this is in heaven. This is in heaven. At this point in time, what's being described is us standing around the throne of God. Think of that. And what is the focal point? The Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb. They're preaching the cross even around the throne of Almighty God. It'll be the only message that should ever be preached by any gospel preacher. Yes, our marriages need help. Yes, our finances need help. But the way to obtain that help comes through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And the Lord wants us, I believe with all of my heart, I know He does, the Holy Spirit wants us to get our minds around this. We need to live in the last days with the mindset, it's already done, because it is. We already have perfect healing. We already have all the finances we need. We already have everything we're ever going to need. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Browning. I was looking in my checkbook this morning when I was writing out my tithes, or when I went to the ATM to pull out some money to pay my tithes with. I ain't seeing that. I'm talking about faith this morning, church. I'm talking about knowing what the end result is. We have nothing to fear, because we have a certainty based upon the promises of Jesus Christ, what lies ahead for us. And if your faith is not in Jesus, you don't have that hope. You don't have no peace in your life. I feel sorry for the poor sinner and the poor churchgoer who is a religionist that doesn't know or understand Jesus Christ and what He's done for them on the cross. They can't really have any peace. They can't really have any joy, because they can't understand the eternal promise of God. But we who know and understand the eternal promise of Almighty God know that through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, we're already there. Hallelujah. We're already there by faith in Jesus' name. We've already received the eternal promises of God. It's just ahead, soon to be manifest, totally and completely. Hallelujah. Church, it's exciting. Don't dare hang your head. Don't dare look down. Don't dare weep, for the promise that was given to John this day in Revelation is given unto you and I today. Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even in heaven, the message of the cross will be the only message preached. I want that to sink in. 28 times in the book of Revelation, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb has prevailed. The Lamb is victorious. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we need to place our faith in Him such that we know it's already done. It cannot be taken away from us, the eternal promise of God. See, that's what Eliza Edmonds got her mind around when the Lord gave her that song. I love that verse. It says, while we walk this pilgrim pathway, clouds will overshed the sun. But when traveling days are over, praise God. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Glory to God. Glory to God. When we all get to heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And we'll be shouting over the cross. We'll be shouting over what He did for us there. My Lord, if you can't shout over it now, you're going to be miserable in heaven, because in the midst of the throne stood a Lamb as it had been slain. God is telling us forevermore it will be the cross of Christ. Forevermore we'll rejoice over the cross of Christ. Forevermore we'll know we're in heaven because of the cross of Christ. And those promises cannot be taken away from us, church. They belong to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel that this morning. Hallelujah. Don't you feel that? What have we got to worry about? My Lord, there's going to be some tough times down here. I wish I could tell you that you come to Jesus and everything's just going to be rosy. No, most times when you come to Jesus, all hell's going to break loose in your life. But I'm telling you, that's why he gave us the unfailing eternal promises. We've got nothing to fear because we know with certitude where we're going and what we're about to get. Because Jesus Christ has never told the first lie. And when he said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Glory to God. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Glory to God. That gets all over me this morning. I will come again. Do you realize who's talking here? We're not talking about some religious zealot on TV trying to sell his latest book. We're talking about the Lamb that was slain. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Glory to God. That's what lies ahead for the believer. The cross will be viewed in heaven in even greater magnitude than what it is right now for the believer. I want you to think of that. If it is the focal point of all of the worship of heaven, that's what we read here in Revelation 5. Christ and him crucified a lamb as it had been slain. I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me this morning. And I don't want to say it unkind, or I want to say it in the most amount of love that the Holy Spirit would flow through me to put it across in. But it's a warning nonetheless. You'd better let him open up and give you the revelation of the cross. Because if you don't, this life you're living ain't going to make much sense. The cross is the foundation of all sound doctrine. It's the foundation of all sound doctrine. In other words, whatever doctrine in the Bible you find, if it doesn't lead you back to the cross of Christ, you're barking up a tree and you're wasting your time. The baptism in the Holy Ghost comes through the cross of Christ. The blessings of God in every material way come through the cross of Christ. Everything we're ever going to receive from God as an act of his grace comes because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Because only through his shed blood can we be made fit to receive God's blessing. I'm going to tell you why most people walk around miserable. And some of you are in this state this morning. Your life is in a mess. And you can't really figure out why. And you're doing things that are destroying you. And you know as you're doing them, they're destroying you. And you really can't figure out why. And you probably want to quit. But you're just trying hard as you can through human effort to change your life and to get some semblance of order and direction and security in it. And you can't do it. The harder you try, the worse it gets. Let me tell you something. I don't say this to talk down to you. We're all born into this world sinners. Let me tell you something. We come into this world depraved sinners. Really. And that's man's problem. Because in the midst of man's difficulties caused by sin, man wants to believe, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good person. That's your problem. Until you stop thinking you're a pretty good person, you'll never know your need for Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. It's what the Holy Ghost is trying to do, is get you out of thinking I'm a pretty good person, because you're not a pretty good person. If Jesus Christ is not in your life, you are a depraved sinner. Every thought you have is evil. Every action your mind is on is nothing but evil. Why? You're born that way. You can't help it. You can't help it. You're a born sinner. And you have no hope of changing your life or getting it in order or bringing any peace into your life through your own human effort. That's what this cross of Christ is all about. Because only through Jesus and faith in what he did for you on that cross can your life be changed. I don't care how many degrees or letters you get behind your name. You can't change your life educationally. I don't care how much drugs and how much alcohol you shove down your body. It may bring you pleasure for a moment, but in the end, it's killing you and destroying you. I don't care how many inordinate sexual relationships you seek out trying to find some type of solace and peace in another person. It will never happen. But when you come to Jesus Christ, he can change your life. He can make the vilest sinner clean. Hallelujah. He can put a new spirit in you, a brand new spirit. That's the power of this Jesus and what he did on the cross. No wonder we'll shout about it through all of eternity, because none of us had any hope at all until he came. And praise God, I love to say it, that day as he hung on that cross for you and me, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he bowed his head and said, "It's finished. It is finished." That's why we'll praise him forevermore from heaven for what he did there. You know, Deb, I was preparing this message and I thought about Ned. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen Ned when he walked through those pearly gates? I can see those hands flying up and the Lord telling him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Same thing for your husband, Nellie. Praise God. Praise God. It's coming for all of us. And if we look at our natural circumstances and the state of this world, we're going to be just like poor old John. We're going to be weeping. We're going to be weeping. You know, you hear so much junk coming out of Washington, D.C. I mean, my Lord, look, those guys don't know have any answers. This week proved that. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Only Jesus has the answers to the problems that face this nation. No politician does, and you might as well not waste your time putting your faith in any politician or some TV talk show host. Let me tell you, I say it again, there's a big difference between being politically correct and being spiritually correct. You can be politically correct and go to an eternal hell just because what somebody's telling you. And if they're a Mormon or they're a Hindu, they're leading you down a path to hell. I don't care how politically correct they are. You better get away from it. But my Lord, somebody who leads you to the cross of Christ, they've led you to the answer. They have led you to the cleansing flow that comes from the shed blood of the Son of God that will deliver you and change your life. And it's the only thing that can. You can't change your life. Because sin is what we are. It goes to our very core when we come into this world. And that's your problem. That's the problem of all of mankind. If you're without Christ today, sin is your problem. Sin is your problem. And you're not going to find peace and solace in another man or woman. You can forget that. Oh, it may work for a while. See, that's how Satan lures you in. Whatever you're leaning on may work for a while, but after a while, it's going to break. I've heard macho men before tell me, "Well, you're just using that Jesus as a crutch." You know what I've told them? I've said, "You're right. You're right. Because my crutch won't break. Jack Daniels will break. Cocaine will break. Inordinate relationships will break. But Jesus will never break." Hallelujah. Everybody! Everybody is going to have a crutch. Hear what I'm telling you. Mankind needs some kind of crutch. And he's going to seek to find it. But all crutches break. Except the one that has the cross attached to it. The cross doesn't break. When you lean on the cross for your crutch, you're going to find peace. You're going to find life-changing power. You're going to find forgiveness of sin. You're going to find the eternal promises of God being imparted into your soul and spirit. And when you look at the world from that perspective, everything will be all right. Because you'll know what John knew. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and he is worthy to open the book and unlatch the seals. I wish I had a lot more time to go into it, but those seven seals represented the seven judgments of God. Seven being God's number of completion. In other words, his complete judgment upon this planet, where he's going to judge all the wrongdoers. I'm about to make a statement, and it may anger some, but I really don't care because it's right. The Barack Obamas and the George Bushes. I'm an equal opportunity preacher this morning. I said it don't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. And the Muammar Gaddafis and the Saddam Husseins that have been despots throughout history. God's going to execute his judgment on them for all their wrongdoings. It really doesn't matter if they come to judgment now or not. God, the Lamb, has prevailed. And man, I kind of like the view we're going to get of it. That's why I entitled this, A View of the Cross from Heaven. Because we're going to be seated around the throne up there. The scene we read in Revelation chapter 5 this morning, this is reason for us to rejoice. As we're going to be standing there watching this unfold. We're going to be standing there when God the Father, and it is believed that this book that's in his hand not only contains the seven judgments, but it is the actual title deed to the universe as he hands it to Jesus Christ. We're going to see that. If your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross, you're going to see that. You're going to stand around this throne we are. It's certain. It is certain what I'm preaching to you this morning. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you have nothing to fear. You really have nothing to weep over. Your future is as certain as we are seated here this morning, and even more so. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. That's why I tell you, if you're bored with the cross down here, that's a foolish thing. Now let me tell you, I love you to pieces. I love you. That's why I've got to preach this way. I mean, people have jumped on me before for being too hard. Read your New Testament, will you? Paul stood there and told the church at Galatia, "Oh, foolish Galatians." If you translate that into the Greek text, you know what he told them? He said, "You're nothing but a bunch of idiots." Really, that's what that translates into in the Greek text, because they had forsaken the cross of Christ and were trying to go back under the law. Paul said it, so I'm going to say it to you. And I say it in love. If you're bored with the cross of Christ, you're an idiot. You're a spiritual idiot. You're spiritually retarded. If you're bored with the cross of Christ and you don't understand your Bible at all, good morning. Because every line, every verse of this book points toward what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And again, I reiterate at the risk of sounding redundant, everything mankind will ever receive as a blessing from Almighty God will be because that individual had their faith in the finished work of the cross. It's the only way God can bless anybody. We're not blessed because of our goodness by God. Now, everybody likes to think that a little bit. Well, I paid extra tithe this month. That's why God blessed me. No, he didn't. He blessed you by grace. If you paying extra tithe would buy you something with God, Jesus wouldn't have had to go into the cross. He'd have just had us all give more. It's by grace. By grace, meaning we don't deserve any of it. Whatever he blesses us with, we don't deserve it. It came because of our faith in the cross. My Lord, that's why this scene in heaven that we're going to be a part of should make us shout right now. God wants us to live like we're already there. He wants us thinking like this is we're there right now. Hallelujah. Years ago, and I'll close on this and shut up. Years ago, how many of you, now I'm going to date myself big time here. How many of you remember Walter Cronkite? He was a great newscaster, one of the best ever. He was an honest man. He wasn't like these newscasters today. He just reported the news. He didn't view himself as a social commentator to help the ignorant masses. He just reported the news, and he was great at it, a good man. Well, they had on this show on Saturday mornings that I used to love when I was about 9, 10, 11 years old. It was called You Are There. Anybody remember that? Okay, I was a weird kid. As weird as an adult, weird as a kid. Anyway, it was called You Are There. And I loved it because it was history, and I love history. And what they would do, they would create a famous scene from history and act it out very accurately on the half-hour show. And Walter Cronkite was the narrator of this show. And they would come on first, and they would set up a little scene, and then Walter's voice would come in, "This is Walter Cronkite." And they would say something like then, they would be reenacting a literal historical event, and I'm going to use the cross. "The date is 32 A.D. We're at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ." And then they would cause his voice to boom and, you know, "And you are there." That was the big thing, you know, when they wanted to put you right there in that scenario. And it was great. I learned a lot of history that way, and I love the show. But in closing, here's how the Holy Spirit wants us to live in this last day. We've read about what lies ahead for us, church, that is certain. That forever and ever we'll view the cross and glorify Jesus in heaven. But the Holy Spirit wants us to put our mind there right now and live like you are there right now by faith. That will bring such joy to our souls and spirits to know what's coming and to put in our minds by faith, "I'm already there." Because let me tell you something in closing. In the mind of God, the day you were saved, He already put you there. He already knows what you're going to look like in a glorified body. He already knows everything about us through all of eternity. And don't let your life and don't let Satan divert your attention from faith in the finished work of the cross. And I want to, if you ever catch yourself thinking, "Well, there's got to be something more beside the cross," or "I'm just kind of bored with the cross," let me tell you, can I give you a word of great advice? If you don't hear nothing else I've said today, hear this. Fall on your face immediately and repent for your lack of understanding and ask God to show you a greater meaning and give you a greater revelation of the cross, because you don't have very much. You don't have much understanding about the glory of what the Son of God did for you there if you're bored with it. You don't understand it. If it's boring to you, I'm telling you, I love you. You don't understand it. But the good news is, God will show you if you'll take the time to start reading His Word, fall on your face and say, "Lord, give me this revelation of joy. Give me this revelation of grace. Give me this revelation of power," and He'll do it. I promise you He'll do it. But fall on your face and repent if you ever feel like, "I'm bored with hearing about the cross." Because if you're bored with it now, I would dare say, chances are, you ain't going to be at this meeting around the throne, because you're going to turn and put your faith in something else that may be more exciting to your flesh. This is deadly serious what I'm preaching about this morning. This is how I know the Lord wants us to live in these last days, with this mindset. And when we do, we'll know, we'll have peace, because His promises are true. I've got to hurry. If you don't have the peace in your soul this morning, if you've been trying hard as you can to get your life straightened out, and it just seems to swirl down further and further, the harder you try, hear this pitiful preacher this morning. I'm not talking down to you. We were all in this state at one time until Jesus came and cleansed us. You can't change your life. I feel the Holy Spirit screaming in my soul to me right now to put that across. You cannot change your own life. You're born a sinner. You're born depraved with every thought of your mind and every action on evil. And I know you don't see it that way. You're thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. We're talking about from God's perspective, not mine. You might have a lot of people fool. They may think you're a great person. But there are no great people. There's only a great Savior. His name is Jesus. And you're doomed to swirl down further and further in the morass of sin that is your problem until you realize, I'm not a good person. And I can't change my life. And I need Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only one who can. I love the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All is made new. Old things are passed away. Jesus Christ's blood will clean you up and make you like you've never sinned before. He'll put His Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and He will give you a brand new nature. And He will pull the plug, and only He can do it, on that sin nature that's causing you all your problems. And I can't make it any more plainer, Lord. Put the anointing on these words. There is no hope for no human outside of Jesus Christ. I don't care how good you may think you are. You're not good enough for God if you're outside of Christ. You're bound by sin. You're a depraved human being. But Jesus Christ is calling you today to set you free, to give you a new spirit, and to cleanse your sin. And only He can do it. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? By that I mean, have you really allowed Jesus Christ to come in and change your life? Have you been trying to change it yourself? You'll never do it. You'll never do it. I'm trying to save you a lot of trouble from somebody who's tried. I tried everything this world told me would make me happy. It left me laying in front of a TV set ready to blow my brains out. I know what sin does and what sin does to people and what it does to the human spirit. And your life isn't going to change. If you think I'm a pretty good person, you're wrong. The Bible says, let me give you the Word of God. Romans chapter 3, is it verse 12 or 13, Mike? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? It means no human meets God's standard. No human meets the standard of Almighty God. But Jesus, that's why Jesus loved you enough and me enough to come and take our place on the cross. He paid our penalty. He took the punishment of our sin upon Him. And God found Him acceptable and perfect in His sight and raised Him from the dead 3 days later to prove that His sacrifice was acceptable and that He is the only way to be made right with God, to meet God's standard of glory. And God does a beautiful thing when you come to Jesus and admit, I'm not a good person, Lord. I can't change my life. I need You. God spiritually takes you and gives you the same spirit that is in Him. And He takes you and literally puts you in Him to where your life is covered. Like Colossians 3:3 says, our lives are hidden in Christ Jesus. That's what God will do for you if you'll do it His way. And let me tell you this, lest you be deceived. You can't cut no deals with God because we have nothing to deal with Him as humans. Who do you think you are? You're dealing with Almighty God. And He has clearly outlined the basis upon which He will deal with humanity. And that basis is solely and exclusively the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. If you want change, if you want your life put in order, come to the cross of Christ. That's the only place it will ever, ever, ever get done. The Holy Spirit's telling me, press it hard. I'll say it again. The cross of Christ is the only place where mankind can be changed and made right before God. Are you right with Him today? Are you going to go on in sin and let it destroy your life and let it keep making your life miserable? Now, I'm not promising you that Jesus is going to wave some magic wand over your life and just make everything rosy. No. In the natural, That probably won't happen. He'll help you along the way in this life, to be sure. But he wants to address the main issue. He's more worried about sin than he is your bills. He's more worried about your sin than he is your problems on the job. Because once the sin issue gets taken care of, then he'll go to work on everything else. And he will ultimately fix everything. You'll be more blessed than you ever thought about being in every realm of your life. But first is the sin issue. And until that's taken care of, God will not bless you. I don't care how good you think you are. Man, we've heard so much pitiful, namby-pamby preaching over the last 30 years that really God has been brought down to man's level as much of the preaching we hear. We're talking about Almighty God who doesn't have to deal with any of us, but in His love and grace sent His Son to die for us on the cross so He could be in fellowship with us if we'll come His way, and He will not compromise the cross. You may sit down. I've heard people say, well, God, I'll do this if you'll do that. You're a fool! You're a fool for thinking that way. You're talking about the God of this universe who spoke these planets into being. That He would want anything to do with any of us at all is beyond my comprehension. But He does, and He proved it in one act, sending His Son Jesus to die in our place on the cross. And that is the only event He will recognize. God will meet with no man anywhere outside of the cross of Christ. Are you right with Him today? Would everyone please stand? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come today. Forgive us, Lord, as humans, of our pride, of our arrogance toward You, a holy, thrice holy God. And Lord, I feel You directing me two parts to this altar call. First, I'm speaking to those of you. You know you're not right with God. You know in your heart you're not right. You know you're bound by sin. You're born into it. You're bound by it. And I don't care how hard you've tried to change your life, you know it ain't working. You know when you lay your head on your pillow at night, things are a mess. It's because of sin. Hear this preacher this morning. It is because of sin. It's not because of some unfair system or some employer or your mommy or your daddy. It's because of what you are, a sinner. But Jesus Christ is reaching out to you today through this message, through the power of His Holy Spirit, to tell you, I'll meet with you one place and one place only, at my Son's cross. And if you'll admit, I'm not such a good person. Matter of fact, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I can't change my life. But I'm given, without reservation, everything I am, I'm giving it over to You, Jesus. And He'll take you. He'll take you just like you are. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to Jesus, because we can't do that. He'll do the cleaning. But you must, if you want to meet with God and you want to be made right with God, you must come to the cross of Christ. Are there any here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, and please, no one looking around, in reverence to the Holy Spirit? Please, if you can't bow your head right now and shut your eyes, leave this sanctuary and go stand out there. I'm that dead serious about this. I'm not playing, especially you young people. You listen to me right now. This is a holy moment. We're not playing no namby-pamby thing. Heaven and hell is on the line for some people here. It may look like fun and games to you, but I'm assuring you it isn't. Are you right with God? Right now, the Holy Spirit's already touched your hearts. I know it. Would you say, I need Him. I need Him. I'm not right with Him, and I'm not a good person. And I don't like the way my life's been going. And I realize now, Pastor, I can't change it on my own. But I want Jesus. I want Jesus to do for me what You said He'd do, and He'll do it. And I'm not going to beleaguer this long. I'm not pleading with you to come to the most powerful person in this universe, Jesus Christ, to bring Him down to a human level to appease you. If you want to choose to die lost and go to a burning hell forever and ever, He will honor that choice. If you want to choose to continue living your life, thinking you're a pretty good person, as you go deeper and deeper into sin and it more wreaks more havoc on your life and destroys you and those around you, you do it. All I am today is a delivery boy. I'm one starving man telling another starving man where there's a free meal. Jesus Christ is your answer. Are there any at all right now? Don't hesitate. Uplifted hand. I need to come to Jesus. I need to come to Jesus right now. Any at all? Okay, I'm going to go on to the next part of the altar call then. Saints of God, I feel the Holy Spirit would have me direct this portion of the altar call to you. The Bible says, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The whole meaning of that verse of Scripture is simply this. Keep your faith in Jesus. Through all the difficulties of this world, don't faint. Don't lose faith in Jesus and what He did for you on the cross. Look to that every day of your life. And let the Holy Spirit renew your mind to the point to where you're there, where we read this morning. And you know it can't be taken away from you. And this life, if we look at it, there's much to weep over. But praise God, Jesus Christ has made provision for us in heaven. And what gets us through this life, hear what I'm going to close on this, what gets us through this life, faith in the cross of Christ, is the very thing that's going to cause us to rejoice for eons in the portals of glory, the cross of Christ, a lamb as it had been slain. I'm going to pray for everyone. And I know some of you are facing some very difficult situations right now. Some of your minds are troubled and worried. Lord, how am I going to take care of my family? I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit has prodded me to put this across to you. God is going to hear me. I believe this is coming from the Lord. He's going to feed you. He's going to clothe your family. And He's going to keep a roof over your head. Now, I'm not promising He's going to make you a millionaire, but the Son of God, I don't care in what part of the world, if they're starving and there's no money, when the gospel starts being preached, money starts coming in. Jesus takes care of His children. Let not your heart be troubled. He's going to take care of you. He's going to meet your need. He is your Heavenly Father. He loved you enough to go to the cross for you. Now, He's not going to satisfy our every whim. No, I would be preaching a wrong Jesus, an unscriptural Jesus, if I were to tell you that. But the Holy Spirit wants you to take comfort today in knowing He will meet your need. He will meet your need. And I keep going back to the message that came forth from the Holy Spirit last week. I've already answered you. I've already answered you. Think of that. That's so applicable to what I tried to preach today. Church, in the mind of God, we're already there around the throne. We're already there. Hallelujah. He's already answered you. Don't let go of your faith. Don't become bored. If boredom with Jesus is entering your life, repent before God right now and say, Lord, renew a right spirit in me. Because you're in real danger of backsliding if you're bored with Christ and Him crucified. Because that's what saved you. That's what brought you into relationship with God. How could we become bored with something that has done such a great thing for us? The finished work of Christ on the cross. It's what we'll praise Him for throughout all of eternity. Not only here, but there. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I asked You to send the comforting power of the Holy Spirit to Your children today, Lord. Heavenly Father, some of their minds have been so weighted and worried, wondering, how am I going to make it? Lord, You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And these are Your children, Your people. King David said it best in the beautiful psalm, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. You are the seed of Almighty God if your faith is in Christ and Him crucified. He will take care of you. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. Get your faith beyond your employer right now. Get your faith beyond your paycheck and don't limit God. He is able to get it to you through a myriad of ways. He can make the wheels on your car run for 200,000 miles to where you'll never have to. He can make the oil in your car not need, I wouldn't recommend this, but not need to be changed for 30,000 miles. If it has to be that way, he's able. And he wants to do these things for his children. He will provide for you. Focus on what's already yours, what you can't lose. Praise God. Praise God. And it all comes to us because of what he did on the cross. All of it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, help us to get our minds around this. Renew our minds today, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for turning to anything else. Let us look to the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Bless your people today. As everyone leaves this building today, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to comfort them so that they'll walk out of here with an assurance in their heart, my God will supply my need according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, it doesn't matter what the stock market's doing. You're bigger. You're bigger than these things of man, Lord Jesus. You are our source. That's what I'm trying to say. Jesus Christ, the one who died for us on the cross, the one who raised from the dead for us so we could have eternal life, the one who is soon to return for us, you are our source. You are our source for everything. And Lord, you will not fail us. You will not fail us, your children, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Give him